Is your life just not working? Are you overwhelmed with relationship problems? The money just won't stretch? Going to work each day is a grind. How do you make your life better? How did you get this way in the first place? There is a way to make your life better. There is a way to make life work. You're going to have to learn how to make better choices and change the way you think. We're going to talk about making your life work on Beyond Today.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
If I asked you to list the 10 things that define who you are, what would they be? You might start with your age, sex, race, weight, or job. You might identify yourself as a soccer mom, working stiff, computer nerd, an entrepreneur. These are the labels we put on ourselves to define our value. Everyone wants to feel valued as a person. Our society tends to judge a person's value by beauty or a perfect body. We also find value in what we own, stylish clothes, a car, how much money we make. Others find a sense of worth and appreciation in belonging to a certain group, like a club or political party or church. Wouldn't it be nice if all our troubles would disappear by dressing a certain way or making a lot of money or belonging to the right club? But life doesn't always work that way. You want to be successful. You want to have a good job, friends, clothes, a nice car, and have some fun in life. For young people, this can become confusing when sometimes it seems teachers, parents, and peers are all trying to define who you are. You begin to feel like a contortionist as everyone tells cliches like keep your back to the wall, ear to the ground, shoulder to the wheel, nose to the grindstone, while keeping a level head and both feet firmly planted on the ground. Young people, and really people of every age, are becoming disillusioned with the belief that fulfillment is based in religion, duty to country, family, hard work, and commitment to community. They've become acutely aware of religious hypocrisy, racism, greed, and a feeling that government, churches, educational institutions are irrelevant for finding personal happiness. Much of pop psychology espouses that happiness comes from finding your inner self. It's expressed in a vocabulary of self-actualization, self-acceptance, and self-realization. And millions of people are trying to get in touch with themselves. The conclusion of this search for self is, since no one can determine who I am except myself, then no other person has the right to determine right from wrong. What may be wrong for you may be right for me. There's a fatal flaw in this belief that happiness is to be found in the pursuit of selfishness with no concrete guidelines of right and wrong. The paradox is, no matter how hard you pursue pleasing yourself, life is going to be a mixture of sadness, happiness, joy and tragedy, success and failure, and all worthwhile endeavors and intimate human relationships, they demand self-sacrifice. Well, there is a map that can help you find your way through this maze. To help us discover the map of life, we're joined on Beyond Today by Pastor Bob Fay and Pastor and Counselor John Seforik. Bob, I want to jump right into this, something everybody wants. Everybody wants happiness. But what is it?
I define it more like eagerness to get up in the morning, ready to take on the day, looking forward to things. Happiness has to do with a freedom of anxiety, a freedom of fear, and also a freedom of worry, not having to have heavy worries on your mind. It involves being happy with your circumstances and happy with your friends and happy with your family and enjoying them, appreciating them, and look forward to working with them and being with them. All those things lend to happiness of a positive environment where you're pleased where you are, and you have no frets or worries to tear you down.
Now, happiness is a hard thing to define in some ways. It can be somewhat subjective.
Well, it can be very subjective. In fact, and the difficulty in defining happiness is illustrated by the writer who on this subject said, I'm not sure that I, writing on happiness, can define happiness, but I think I will recognize it when I see it.
Yeah.
So I think I could join the chorus there as far as that. But happiness is a state of mind. It's a state of mind that is a byproduct of seeking the right goals and purposes and meaning in life.
So it's more than just being subjective. There can be an objective definition to happiness. So if that's true, why is it so elusive?
I think happiness is elusive because people try to pursue it directly. And happiness really can't be pursued directly. It's a byproduct of other things.
But our culture says the pursuit of happiness is our right.
Well, it is our right, yeah. But if you're going to pursue happiness on its own, you're going to have some difficulties. You know, people will sit down, they'll ask themselves, am I happy? Am I happy? And they'll go back and forth and think about that. And, of course, it's very hard to, that's a subjective thing. People that I know that are really happy don't think about whether they're happy. They're involved in productive efforts. They're doing things that interest them. They're building for the future. They have plans and activities, and they're going toward it and working toward worthwhile goals that they enjoy. And they're happy. They don't think about being happy.
When I think of the Bible, I think of Solomon. Now, there's a man who really struggled with the whole concept of happiness.
King Solomon of Israel, of ancient Israel, happened to be at the very pinnacle of the power of the nation. He had wealth, he had buildings, he had peace for 40 years. And he was able, and he had an interest to study the subject of happiness and what is good in life. And after pursuing it all that time, he was able to build things. He had employees and singers, and he had artists, he had marriages galore, and he had all the things that most people would think would bring happiness. And he concluded in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Ecclesiastes that there's nothing better for a man than to enjoy his labor and to eat and drink and rejoice, and because that's the portion that God gave him under the sun. He found that was the thing that really made him happy. The building was fun when you're doing it. When you're done, it's not so fun.
It wasn't things. It was relationships, and it was goals, and it was accomplishments.
That's exactly right.
Why is it so elusive? Why? For us as human beings?
Well, as Bob was talking about King Solomon, it kind of comes to mind that the reason is that it's so elusive because we can't get a handle on it. The more that we pursue it, as Bob was showing, the harder it is to catch up with it. And there's another factor. Our nature, the way we are made, is insatiable. It never gets enough. We eat one very enjoyable, tasty meal. We might say, this is the best meal I've ever had. Does that mean that the next day we're not seeking to duplicate that, or the next week or the next month? Of course not. So there's something, an aspect about our human nature that is just continually craving more and wanting to know, well, is there still more for me to experience, like King Solomon wanted to know, is this all there is? You know, is this all that life's about? So that insatiable quality about human nature helps to make this thing of happiness very elusive to us.
Yeah, and because we experience it, and then we think we can somehow keep repeating that minute by minute by minute. And the truth is, nobody, no human being, experiences happiness every minute of every day. It's impossible. And we have to come to realize that. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that a lot of people probably have never thought about. Does God care about our happiness?
Absolutely. He cares about it so much that he made the ultimate sacrifice for us to be able to have a relationship with him, to cover our past mistakes. He has sacrificed his son that we could get free of all the things that we've made mistakes. You know, Jesus said he came that humans may have life and have it more abundantly. He wanted not just life, but abundant life. And that has to do with our happiness. John wrote in one of his letters that he says, I wish you'd prosper and be in good health. It's a wonderful thing. God's plan is that man enjoy life. He gave us life to make it enjoyable, although we've got ourselves in a lot of problems.
I'm going to come back in just a moment. You know, God does care about your happiness. Now, if God cares about your happiness and he created happiness, then he must know how it works. We want to talk about how God created happiness and how you can partake of that. And we'll be back right after this.
In our fast-paced world, how do you hold on to life's most important things? Your relationships, your finances, even a positive state of mind. For step-by-step principles that always work, get a hold of your free copy of Making Life Work. It's full of timeless advice you need to succeed. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See the spiritual truths that work to always create lasting job and career success, that build healthy marriages and families, financial security, and a life full of friendships. Timeless principles for everybody. They always work. Get your free copy of Making Life Work now by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Nothing should stop you from making life work.
We're offering on today's program the booklet, Making Life Work, and it's for you absolutely free. And one thing I want to make clear is we're not going to ask you for money. We're not going to ask you to join some kind of club or even a church. This is important information that comes out of the Bible to help you change your life. And how can we have a better life? We've been discussing the important topic of happiness with Pastors Bob Fay and John Seforek. In the last segment, we were talking about how God cares about our happiness. Is it accurate now, John, to say that the Bible isn't just a book about theology? It's not just a book about history. It's a book about happiness.
Well, that's really the case, and it may sound surprising to some people because I think there's a general misconception, you know, that, well, what could God possibly know about happiness? I mean, the image of God in the minds of too many people is that he is perhaps an austere God,
yeah.
Disconnected to people and to things like happiness. And yet, God wrote the book, the Bible, on happiness. He has given that as the instruction manual for human beings. And who better than the Creator God himself can write about and tell us the way to really find happiness?
You were talking about Solomon earlier. Solomon actually talked about happiness in the book of Proverbs.
He talked about it very much. He talked about the pursuit of wisdom. And it's in Proverbs chapter 3. And he starts off and he says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. And he gets down various things about wisdom and the pursuits and how it's better than anything else you can pursue. And then he says it involves pleasantness and it involves peace. And he says it involves the tree of life. And that's the whole purpose of creation, life. God planned to share life. But you want life that's happy and pleasant and peaceful, not full of stress. So he talked about it a lot. He began that section was happy, and he ended the section with, and happy as he defines it, on the pursuit of wisdom. And wisdom has to do with how to handle situations with other people and others to bring a peaceful and pleasant environment, that if possible, there's a win-win for everybody involved. Learning how to do that is a wonderful thing to learn happiness. There's another key in the New Testament that is very important, and that is where Paul was talking about where Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed has to do with being happy and positive outcomes. And to be able to do that, it's blessed to be able to give. At first, it may sound a little strange, but when you've learned certain things and you can help somebody else, or you can help somebody in a difficult situation, or you can give an encouraging word to somebody that's down, or you can bring some positive outcome out of a child's got a big problem and you could help it come, I'll tell you, being able to help and serve in that way just produces happiness.
But you know, this goes against what most people think and what we sort of naturally think about happiness. We think, no, happiness is me getting what I want, or people, everybody doing what I want, and therefore I will be happy. And here you're talking, and that's a subjective viewpoint of happiness. You're saying there's rules to happiness.
Yeah. Yes, there are guidelines or principles to follow toward happiness. And blessed to be able to give is a principle. You find some of the happiest people, you talk about Mother Teresa, the way she would serve, and she was happy with her work. She felt she was contributing. Now, she felt she was doing a worthwhile thing. She never had money. She never had fame until later years. But she was happy because she was serving. She was giving.
There's another disconnect here for a lot of people that legitimately has to be dealt with. And that is, okay, we're sitting here saying God cares about our happiness. And God wants us to be happy. Then why does God allow all this pain and suffering in our lives and in the world around us? I mean, isn't there a disconnect?
Well, it does seem like a real disconnect, but we are human beings who have free moral agency. We have the ability to choose, and that's like a two-edged sword, you know, because we not only have options that are good choices, but we have things that we can choose that are bad choices that can end up spiraling our lives out of control and bring frustration and misery and unhappiness in great measure. And so it's a matter of learning to make the right choices. If we make the wrong choices and we continue that pattern, then we are developing a recipe for unhappiness, for misery, for failure in our lives.
You know, I think this is a vital key, because free will is a two-edged sword. And we have to learn to take the consequences for what happens, which means that happiness, objectively, there are certain standards that guide it. You get outside those standards, and the consequences will destroy whatever happiness that you're feeling at that moment. So it is important to understand that choices and consequences are so important in understanding happiness.
You know, God is the great educator. He created us, and he wants us to learn important lessons that are going to last forever of the way to live and the way that works best and produces the best outcome. But to do that, he had to give us a choice so that we can make choices and decide and then see the consequences of those decisions. It's like any parent. You're trying to educate your children into making good choices, but you have to give them freedom to be able to do so. But when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he told them there was a tree they shouldn't take. But he didn't stop them from taking it. He
gave them no guards.
There are no guards, no security lights, no alarm bells going off, you know, when they came up. He just let them go ahead and make that decision, which they finally did. He told them it wasn't the way to go. He told them the consequences, but they didn't believe him. So they did it, and then they made, that was lesson one. They had a free choice. Lesson two was, they had consequences. They received an eviction notice from the Garden of Eden. So they not only couldn't get the Tree of Life, they couldn't get any of those trees anymore. They were evicted from their home, and they had to go out and start again. He did encourage them. He still guided them and helped them. But they were given a choice, and then they had consequences.
You know, it's so important, if we're going to ever really be happy, to understand God didn't create this mess. This mess you and I live in are because of choices that weren't his. They're choices he gave to us, and humanity as a whole, we've just made so many wrong choices. We've created this mess. And that comes down to the fact, to truly be happy, at some point we have to start to take responsibility for our own lives and our own choices, don't we?
Well, that is absolutely required, because if we make the wrong choices, it's like a boomerang effect. You know, we're going to pay the penalty for those consequences. We had something that made headlines in the local community where I live in recent months, where a father of two children, his wife and his two children, began to develop problems in his relationship. He developed problems with his work, and he kept making the wrong choices instead of facing the reality of the problems and dealing with them. And so finally, his wife got an eviction notice on him, a restraining order, and she was tripped down to the courthouse to file for divorce. And instead of even waking up at that point, the fellow was just overwhelmed with anger, with frustration. He got into his huge pickup, and he drove down there to the courthouse, and he rammed that powerful truck right into the front door of the courthouse, shattered the windows, and did thousands of dollars worth of damage, and sits in jail to this day for a few years' sentence, because he did not learn the consequence of the bad choices in life.
And you know what happens? It's the exact opposite of what we think. We think there are certain choices that give us freedom. And many times those choices, when they're bad, and especially when they're evil, every bad choice, every evil choice actually narrows down our freedom. And the perfect example are the prisons, where enough bad choices are made that they take away your freedom. You want to be happy? We're going to talk about how your Creator also wants you to be happy, and we'll teach you how right after this.
We all need tools for our job, but we also need tools to just make life work. We need tools to build security and peace of mind. Blueprints of principles to love someone for a lifetime. Get your tools for making life work by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get tools and blueprints for making life work.
In our age of spectacular discoveries in science, the miracle of life reveals astonishing truth you can read about regularly in the Good News magazine. As more mysteries of life are solved, put yourself in the positive big picture presented regularly in your free subscription to the Good News. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for the Good News magazine.
If you have internet access, be sure and go to beyondtoday.tv, and you can get the booklet that we're offering today, and we'll send you a free subscription to The Good News. You'll get 6 copies of this magazine that contains all kinds of information about how to make your life work, and how to be happy. I want to go back to something we were talking about in the last segment. And John, you know, happiness really is more about thoughts than environment. When we think about happiness, a lot of times it's what happens to us. Mm-hmm. And yet it's our thought process that really determines happiness through life, isn't it?
Well, there is such a strong connection that it's just amazing. We like to think of ourselves as being rational individuals and that we face life and its challenges very logically and systematically in an organized manner and such. And yet when we're faced with a crisis, our tendency is to react very emotionally, and the thoughts are the progenitors. You know, that's what engenders the actions that we take,
yes,
and our reactions in that kind of situation. So emotion is very much a part of it. The thought process is essential to control, or it spins out of control. We get negative, we get disappointed, we get frustrated, we get all of those things that are certainly on the opposite side of the ledger from happiness.
It's strange. I mean, we think, well, we can just work up our emotions, but our thoughts really determine where we end up, don't they?
Our thoughts are key to this understanding of happiness. When Jesus was on earth, he came across two brothers who were arguing over an inheritance, and they wanted him to resolve it for them. But he refused to resolve it for them, but he gave a very interesting warning to them both and to all of us. He said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life doesn't consist of what he possesses.
Well, what is covetousness?
Covetousness is that desire of wanting something. Mm-hmm. Their debate was over the inheritance. And how many inheritance debates do we have today with people fighting over all kinds of things? But he said it was their thinking about, if I get this land, then I'll have it for me. And it's very selfish thinking. He said, beware of covetousness. The last commandment, the 10th commandment, is thou shalt not covet. Covet has to do with the mind. It's aimed directly at the mind. Coveting takes place right in the mind, and it means you can never be happy, because if you're coveting in the sense of wanting something that is either illicit or something that is out of reach, then it's you keep your mind on what you don't have.
You get obsessed.
You get obsessed, yes, by it, about being all on what you don't have, and you're thinking about it, and then you're sad. It's a terrible result that comes there.
Really, one of the keys to happiness is being thankful for what you have. Right.
Thankful is the exact opposite of covetousness. In fact, it's the antidote. If you're thankful, then you're grateful. You're grateful for what you do have, rather than pining about what you don't have, and yearning and this longing for something that leaves you unhappy with a big, long, sad face. Thankfulness is the key to getting away from it. Now, if we have a nice car, so many times we get in trouble because we want a better car, and we want a better this, and we want a better that. I remember as a kid, there were things that I'd want, and I'd want them so bad. And then I'd get them, and then it wasn't too long till it just didn't have any interest in me anymore, and I was off wanting something
else.
It's
on the shelf. And why is it so hard for us to be thankful? It is difficult.
It's in our very psyche, our makeup, our nature. You know, to be insatiable, to want more, to think there must be more, to not be satisfied. And so we battle this continually until we become consumed. You know, we're not just consumers, but we become consumed with this intensive desire to get more and more and more. Surveys continue to be taken of people and asking them, you know, what one thing do you think would make you happy? We can guess the answer. You know, it's something that they can receive, like more money. And they oftentimes will say millions of dollars, maybe $10 million.
I can just hit the lottery. I'll
yes.
be happy. Yeah.
In fact, one person said, and this was in an office, you know, that they gave the choice. They were talking around the water cooler, and they said, well, now, what would you take, $10,000 or living forever? And everyone that this person asked the question to said with $10,000.
Wow. Which brings us to the spiritual aspect of happiness, because there is a spiritual aspect to this, and it involves knowing that you have a purpose, that you have a creator, and that actually life is more than this. There is an eternity out there. So that purpose, knowing that, is an important aspect of real happiness.
It really is. Jesus came with a message. He called it the good news of the kingdom of God. God's got a kingdom planned for those who follow his way of life, for those who learn the right ways of happiness, and who have their past cleansed away by the sacrifice of Christ. And when your goal is the kingdom of God, then you recognize that this life that we're in now is temporary. It's only temporary. Even this world, this whole society is temporary. And when your goal becomes the kingdom of God, your life takes on a whole new meaning because you're striving to learn about the right ways of life, about God's way, about God's will, and that is such an interesting pursuit. And the longer you pursue it, the more interesting it is and the more profound it becomes. Jesus was once asked, he said his mothers and brothers were standing outside and wanted to talk with him. And he was teaching people. And he said to the people who told him that, he said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" He said, "Those who do the will of God are my mother and brother and sister." In other words, that's his family, those who learn that. And the kingdom of God teaches us that in God's kingdom, we live a way that produces happiness and good for everybody.
What a purpose. What a meaning for life.
Yeah, it's fantastic because God as a creator knows what makes life work.
Yeah.
He has given us instructions. He's given us the way that leads not only to happiness now in this life, but more importantly to an eternity of supreme happiness in the kingdom of God.
Now, you know, that's hard for some young people to grasp especially. I think as you get older, that becomes more profound. But, you know, a lot of young people would just say, "But I just want to have some fun now." I mean, what would you say to a young person who said that? "But I just want to have some fun now."
Yeah, well, I talk about the kind of fun that they want to have. And if it's within the instruction book of the Maker, it's good fun without a boomerang effect and a penalty, well, fine. But these are all stepping stones. And to get them to look beyond just the temporary pleasure and enjoyment now, to use that as a stepping stone for the real
future. God's not against fun.
He's not against fun.
He is against bad consequences.
Absolutely.
Actually, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, we mentioned him before, makes exactly that point. He says, "Rejoice, young man, in your youth, and enjoy it, and do things. But know that God will call all those things into account. There will be a reckoning. There will be consequences. But God intends for a person to make good choices and enjoy things. He wants us to enjoy things."
Maybe you never thought about it. God wants you to have fun. He doesn't want you to suffer bad consequences. We'll be back right after this.
Success in life comes down to the spiritual choices you make or don't make, the decisions that make life work or don't make it work. Like most people, you try to think about your life to improve it. That's why you should call toll-free right now, 1-888-886-8632, or go online for Making Life Work, a stunning free publication. That's 1-888-886-8632, or going online to beyondtoday.tv.
Happiness isn't a destination. It's not like one day you discover it and it never goes away. It's a journey. You can make your life better by first learning to take responsibility for your choices, learning to reject negative thoughts, learning to be thankful for what you have, and letting God show you the purpose for your life. The rewards are to begin to live the way God designed for us today and to understand that He has a great future for all of us beyond today. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today, and thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.